Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The word of God for our meditation this morning is recorded in Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Fellow redeemed. One of the most popular subjects of reality TV shows and YouTube tutorials is makeovers, especially extreme makeovers. A few years ago, one of the extreme makeover shows that friends of mine would watch together as a family on TV was Extreme Makeover Home Edition. A family whose current home did not meet their current needs would be chosen. This family was in a situation of need. Maybe children who lost their parents, or maybe they had a family member with a disability. But in just 1 week's time, the Extreme Makeover team would assess the family's need, demolish the family's inadequate home, and build them a new one, changing their lives for the better. In a similar way, this is what God does with his holy word. God's law assesses our needs, exposing our moral deficiencies and personal failings. God's word tears you down in order to build you up. The gospel tells us how God demolished our sins on the cross. Through God's word added to the water of holy baptism, God drowns our sinful nature and sins, burying them in Christ. Then a new man arises, constructed in its place by the Holy Spirit. It's an extreme makeover, soul edition. In Romans 5, Paul paints a before picture of what you and I were by nature, to deepen our appreciation for God's extreme makeover. In the words just following our text, he describes us as powerless. This means we are unable to save ourselves. Like storm victims in Louisiana, we are carried away by a flash flood of desires we can't control. And then we are called ungodly. We might use that word ungodly as a modifier. When my family moved from northern Minnesota to tropical southern Minnesota, my oldest child asked, "Daddy, why have you brought us to this ungodly hot place?" Ungodly tells us that something is missing. By nature, we lack the wisdom to see life straight. We lack the moral courage to do the right thing. We lack the love to really care about people. Ungodly means that we are nothing like God. We don't even live in the same cosmic zip code as God. Paul describes us also as sinners. Sinners do the wrong thing at the worst time. Sinners might try to do the right thing, but then miss the mark. Sinners are like the ninth grader who tries out for the football team as a receiver. Passes are bouncing off his hands, his helmet, his pads. And when he's cut, he asks the coach, "Was it because I dropped all those passes?" The coach answers, "No, it's because you can't catch a pass." What makes us sinners is not just that we do the wrong thing, we can't get life right. The before picture is rounded out by Paul calling us God's enemies. At this point, we might protest. Wait, Paul, now you've gone a little too far. Enemies of God? Really? Well, what else do you call people who defy God's authority with repeated greed and lust and anger and selfishness? Enemies of God? Really? Why else do you think we get angry at God when we experience hardships and heartaches in our life? Within the corner of every human heart, there lurks the fear that God is going to get even with us for what we've done, because sin makes God our enemy. When the Apostle Paul shows us the before picture of our human nature in Romans 5, he always uses a qualifier, a but Christ died. But Christ died. But Christ died. That death forever changed how we look to God. Jesus' death satisfied God's justice and saved us from his wrath. So our identity, for Jesus' sake, is no longer sinner. Jesus' death took away our sins. We aren't ungodly anymore. Jesus' death reconciled us to God. We're no longer God's enemies. We are justified by faith. God has declared us righteous, not guilty, for the sake of Jesus' death and resurrection. By faith, trusting in Jesus' righteousness, his holy life is credited to our accounts. Now that's an extreme makeover. Now look at the after picture of your extreme makeover. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's what that looks like in your soul. No more anxiety attacks over what's going to happen to you because God's not mad at you anymore. Peace means we don't have to overreact to our problems we face or injustices we suffer. God is working all things for our eternal good for Jesus' sake. Through Jesus, we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. This means that when you talk to God, you won't get a computerized menu of options. You have direct access in prayer to the CEO of everything. Your standing before God is not like a performance evaluation dependent on what you've done lately. Grace determines your status with God because it depends on what Jesus did, not what you do. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Here's how hope brings joy to your soul. You don't live in the past with your bitterness and regrets. You are looking forward because you have an incredible future. No matter how rough life might look right now, someday soon you're going to be pain-free and celebrating in everlasting glory. Paul puts it well in 2 Corinthians. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary afflictions are achieving for us an eternal glory that outweighs them all. We even rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance and perseverance character. Let me describe how that works in your soul. The Greek word for suffering literally means to have things pressing down on you. We call it stress. Stress is deadlines you can't meet and responsibilities you can't shoulder. It's consequences looming and finances failing. You've asked God to get you out from under the stress, but the pressure hasn't let up. So instead of relief, you ask for strength to cope and wisdom to understand. And then you begin to understand and see God's purpose. He's developing your Christian character. He's giving you courage and integrity. He's teaching you prayer and problem solving instead of whining about your situation. Nobody's saying you're supposed to like it when the pressure is mounting and the heat is on, but that's how a lump of coal becomes a diamond, pressure and heat. And that's how God shapes your character. Hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. God's love changes everything. God loved you to death. God's love accomplishes the ultimate extreme makeover, changing us from powerless, ungodly enemies of God to believers at peace with God, living in sure and certain hope. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Please rise for prayer. O gracious Father, God of love, loving us from everlasting, you gave your Son into death for us when we were yet enemies. And you desire us to know the love you have for us, and on our part to love you and our neighbor. We beseech you, remove from our hearts tormenting fear, and fill them with childlike faith and trust in you. Cleanse us also from hatred and ill will. Incline us to render kindness to one another, that we may serve one another in love, and grant us at last boldness in the day of judgment. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.